Thank you for being here today. Just as we get started this morning, I want to invite your attentions over to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16. It's going to kind of be our jumping off point this morning. Now, you should have found somewhere around you in the seat a set of notes. And somebody sent a note last week and said, I didn't get all the scriptures. And so we're going to do our best. And I called the guys, listen, I got it put together and it's laying on my desk. So I promise you I will get that up and running this week so that you can have a note from everything that we did last week. But because there's a lot of scriptures, because we're not going to go really long this morning, I want you to have that as well. I'll remind our church that just after our service, we're going to take a five-minute break, and I'm going to meet with the cruisers for about 5 minutes, and then we'll have a short time of taking care of some needs in a business meeting for our church members to be a part of as well. In 2 Chronicles, we're talking about this concept of seeking new direction, seeking new directions. So this morning, our jumping off point is going to be 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles. Did I say 2 Chronicles? 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. This is a passage. I love this chapter of 1 Chronicles. It's this time when that finally, after a long period of struggle and difficulty, they move the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. And they get it situated and they get it put in place. And this is a song of worship of David. And in the midst of that, the reason this is important to me is sometimes in the midst of joy, in the midst of good things happening, it's easy to lose sight of the need for us to be constantly seeking the Lord. If you've ever been through a building program, you understand that up to the point that the day you move in, I mean, it's nothing but blood, sweat, and tears. And you get moved in, and everything is going well. And all of a sudden, it's almost this tendency to sit back and go, we've arrived. And the truth is, if you have something like that, you've not arrived, you're just beginning. You've just turned the page. And as 242 Church goes forward, I want you to know, as we began to see God work, we're not arriving, we're just on the journey. And so in the midst of this great prayer, and he says things like give thanks, remember, all those kinds of things, declare, show. It's an outward time of joy and excitement and praise and worship. But in the midst of that, David, under the inspiration of the holiness of God's Spirit, in verse 10 says this, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. He says this, it's not time to quit, it's time to continue. And as we began to look at 2026 as a church going through the month of March, the reminder every week is going to be, we are not finished, we are just beginning, and in the beginning, we have to seek. We have to seek. It doesn't say you have to do. Because listen to me, before you do, you better get it right. So he says, let's seek together. And it's interesting because that is the context of seeking. He says this, listen, first thing it says, glory. Glory. Now, what glory you, or glory ye in his holy name. I love that word in the Hebrew. Here's what it means. It means to shine. It means to make a show. It means to boast. It means to be worthy of. What he's saying in this is that the glory that we're giving to him is in essence that we are exhibiting in our lives the evidence of what it means to be in relationship with him. It's not to boast and be like, hey, but it's to live our life in such a way that when people look at us, what they see is him. David said, listen, in the midst of all this celebration, don't forget what it is that we're trying to accomplish. It's not simply having the Ark of the Covenant. It's being God's people walking and living in the presence of God. He's with us. But as we do that, we seek his holy name. Then he says, let your heart rejoice. Let your heart rejoice. This is not a surface kind of thing. This is not an emotional kind of thing where you're watching a movie and find yourself crying or laughing or being angry. not like when Bambi's mama died. What it is this is all the way to the very core of who I am. It is a transformational kind of experience when we begin to get on track and on course, being the evidence of who God is in the world today. We become the glory. We become the place folks can see the glory of God. And let them rejoice in it. To rejoice in it. I love the word, to brighten up. Can I tell you, when a church is here's what I've learned. I used to say this all the time. The old preacher said, then I realized, I am the old preacher. So I'm saying to you, if you come to church in the mully grubs, if you come to church down and out and moaning and groaning and all those kinds of things, I will tell you this. There are times when we go through stuff and it's difficult, but even in the times of going through those things, our job is to reflect and to seek and to serve and walk in the glory of who He is. Because His grace is sufficient even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when I groan and when I moan and when I walk through all those kinds of things, I don't do it as the world does it. I do it as He is in me and I am in Him. With all my heart, I rejoice and I seek the Lord. That word seek literally means to search out or to strive for or to procure. Now, I don't know who I'm going to have to talk to about it, but I'm almost out of caramel macchiato creamer in the coffee bar. We've got to procure some more. It's not simply going, okay, I wish I had that, or boy, it sure would be nice. It means that we began to pursue it, we began to seek after it, we began to do whatever has to be done to make sure that it comes about as we pursue Him. What are we pursuing? His strength, His face. See, the churches pursue a lot of things. Christians pursue a lot of things. David said, as we now have the Ark of the Covenant in its place and we're worshiping it and we're having this great celebration, we have to continue to seek what? After His face, and we have to continue to seek His strength. Because, beloved, we cannot ever hope to accomplish what God's called us to in our own strength. We have to seek. We have to be diligent. We have to procure. We have to do all those kinds of things as we began to try to seek after Him and seek His face continually. It didn't say on Sundays. Every day in every way, I'm seeking His face. That's the foundation of what the biblical concept of seeking is. So as we turn from that, as we get that foundation, in the midst of that, we are to seek. And we are to glory in Him, and we're to seek with diligence, and we're to seek with joy, we're to seek with strength, His strength, and to seek His faith. As we do all that, what does that begin to look like to the church at 242? So this morning, I want to give you three things. If you'll listen fast, we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see the call of seeking. The call of seeking. You have these scriptures, so I'm not going to ask you to reference them. You can look them up, you can follow them. What does it mean? What is a call? Here's what I say this. The call says in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye thirdly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The priority. Not my well-being, not my want list, not my wish list, not my desires. Oh, by the way, can I tell you something? If you want to get your desires fulfilled, desire what He wants you to have. Because the Bible says, when I began to seek Him, I began to follow Him, I began to pursue Him, He said this, I will give you the desires of your heart. The problem is we just don't have the right heart desires. But as we began to seek that, He said, seek ye first. You know who He's talking to in that passage? He was not talking to the world. He was not talking to the lost. He was talking to the believers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. What's my standard? Where's the plumb line? Well, if I could just be as righteous as so-and-so, as the pastor, as somebody, that's not even the plumb line. The plumb line is Him. Seek ye first His righteousness. Walking in the rightness as He walked in the rightness. and His kingdom. The call of seeking is it has to be a first priority. And then in Jeremiah 29, we all know Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, searching, seeking with all your heart. Not only first, but with diligence. It has to be the priority, seeking first, and seek you with all of your heart. Oh, by the way, what did Chronicles say? Let the heart of them rejoice. Jeremiah said, seek him with all your heart. It's a consuming kind of seeking. It's not just a first. It's consuming. It's a call to search, to pursue with diligence. In one place where it says, seek me, where it says, serve, it literally means with an intent to worship. An intent to worship. We need to have a session one day on what it means to have biblical worship. Because I think many times the church has skewed what it means to worship. Did you know you can worship without any music? You can worship without having any teaching or praying. Worship is when I just began to ascribe to Him who He is and what He does. Oh, by the way, you'll never have authentic worship until you first ascribe to Him who He is before what He does. Seeking with your whole heart. That's the call. Seeking first, seeking with your whole heart. That's the call of seeking. Today, church, we're at a place where the Bible is shouting to us, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him. How? Seek Him first, seek Him with all of our heart. Everything you heard Andy talk about this morning is for one reason, and that's to try to find a way to connect with the community around us. You see, the days of opening the doors and going, hey, we're here, y'all come, is over. This week, I met three people and had conversations with three people. One at the tire shop, one at Jack at Whataburger, and one over at the shipping UPS store, talking to them about our church, inviting them to our church. And it was like, where's your church? What am I saying is that we've got to be diligent to reach to the community. First, and with priority. Second thing I want you to see is not only the call, but I want you to see the commitment. Seeking first, seeking as a priority. Then He says this, what's the process? How do I do that? In Matthew chapter 7, He said, ask, seek, and knock. By the way, that's three actions tied together. Those are not independent. Lord, I pray that You would just bless our church and bring people to us that might know Jesus. I mean it, Lord. I wish You'd do that. Amen. And we don't do a blessed thing to follow up on that. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Nothing. Why? Because He said, you and I are the salt, you and I are the light. If people are going to be drawn to it, we've got to be that, not in here, but out there. Well, I just don't think I can share the gospel with people. Number one, that's a lie, but number two, I understand. But here's what I know. There's not a one of us that can't go out here on this table and pick up four or five of these little cards, and as we're going out to eat, all you say is, listen, can I invite you to our church? There's a QR code on the back. If you'll just take a picture of it, it'll take you to our information. The men last night went down here to eat at HEB. And by the way, we had a great night. We had a good time of fellowship and good food. And as I was finishing up, the young lady that was just swamped, number one, she didn't have time to have a conversation. But I just asked her, I said, look, as we're finishing up, we're going to ask a blessing. Can we pray for you? And she said, absolutely. So I'm in the process of moving to Huntsville, but you can pray for me. I said, can I give you one of my cards about our church down here? I'm the pastor. And she said, absolutely. By the way, my parents live right here in this community, and they're looking for a church home. Can I give them your card? What does that mean? It means that we ask, but then we do something about it. And here's what I know. When we ask and we seek and we knock, He says, I will answer your prayers. Now listen to me. Growing this church is not about getting 1,000 people here. I'm going to tell you something. If you want 1,000 people here, you got the wrong pastor. Here's what I want. I want a church of healthy, growing, diligently serving believers of all ages, of all ethnicities, of all backgrounds, so that we can be the family of God that looks like what the church is supposed to look like. See, my hope is in the next few months that we have to move chairs around and we have to add some chairs because God's blessing and bringing people in. But that's not the goal. The goal is being salt and light. You see the guys over at the UPS store, I don't think they'll ever come to our church. But here's what I know. They know we're here. It's about asking and seeking and knocking in unity. Then he says in Leviticus 19, and this is so powerful. I found this. I got to add this to this. Leviticus 19:31 says that when we seek him, the commitment to seek him has to be biblical. Are y'all familiar with the YouTube channel called The Holy Nope? H-O-L-Y-N-O-P-E. If you're not, you need to find it. This guy, I'm serious. This is a born-again believer who takes clips from church services and all kinds of spiritual kinds of things, and he listens to them and to get an idea of the idiocy and the ungodliness that happens in the pulpit. I saw one last week where in the middle of this church service, the Holy Ghost fell, and this 8-year-old boy climbs up and is standing on top of the podium dancing in the spirit. Number one, I can't get up there. Number two, I can't dance, so you don't have to worry about that for me. But he goes through all this, and he's looking at his Bible, and he finally goes, nope, and shuts the door. But listen to me, there are folks in churches today who are seeking to understand, seeking to pursue, but the processes and the people that they're following are not biblically sound. He says in this, as you seek me, do not allow yourself, and some of the versions say mediums, and some say enchanters, some say familiar spirits, and some say wizards, and some say some other things. Listen, we have to make sure that as we're seeking him, that as we're committed to seeking him, we're doing it in a biblical manner. Because there is so much stuff out there that's not biblical. Listen, I've been doing this long enough, I promise you, I could start telling you stories and make you cry this morning. I could, because I know how to do that. That's my job. That's what I've been doing for 40-something. But my job is to not make you cry, nor to make you laugh. I think we ought to be able to laugh in church. I think we ought to have time of fellowship. I think there ought to be times when the church begins to weep. I think I saw tears last Sunday. But that wasn't us. That was him. Seeking to do things biblically. That's the commitment. It's the action, the activity of that, and then to have it in a biblical manner. So why? So that at the end of the day, that the glory that we show is in his name, and that it's in our hearts that's rejoicing in such a way that as we seek him, everyone around us can say, there's the glory of God. There's the glory of God. So we have a call, and then we have a commitment, and then we'll stop there because you don't want to know about the last one. The cost. What does it cost to seek the Lord? Over and over we see in the Bible people coming to Jesus and going, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to seek this? And every time that he would give them a list, they would go, yeah, oh. Listen to me. We in ourselves can never fulfill the list. You're always going to come up short. So what's the cost? He says, the cost is we have to be, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. What is faith? Hebrews 11 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for. Sure, it is sure of what we hope for, certain of those things that we cannot see. I know that's not King James, but that's the way I memorize it. Being sure of what we hope for. I just asked a question. Anybody see anything different on the stage this morning? What do you see? Why is it here?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know why it's here? We don't have anybody to play it. Why would we put it there? Let me just add something to it. Next week, there'll be a set of drums on the stage. Brand new set of electric drums that's been given to us. Why? We don't have anybody to play it. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for. You know what I'm hoping for? That as we do what we're supposed to, God is going to begin to work, and He's going to bring us somebody to play the drums, and He's going to bring us somebody to play the keyboard, and He's going to bring us everything that we need so that we can seek Him in such a way that when people come in, they find the glory of God in this place. Well, let's just wait till we get somebody. That's not faith. Listen, the days of working with what we have is over at 242. The days of working in what we understand by faith God is going to do, it begins to be the direction we're going. I'm going to tell you right now, we've got to have another Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. We can't get more people in the room that we have. Who's going to teach it? I don't know. Where are we going to meet? I don't know. That's not my job. My job is to be faithful. Your job is to be faithful. But if we want to see what God's going to do, we can't just plan for what we've got. We've got to begin to seek after what He's going to do. By the way, next Sunday, we're going to have guests for Sunday school. You know why I know? Because I've already talked to them this week, and they will be here next week. And you and I know this. Long term, people are not going to go into a room where it's hot and stuffy and crowded and just be uncomfortable, even if Jesus was teaching. God is going to do some things here. The reason we're doing everything, some things we're going to talk about later today. Why are we doing that? Because we have to get plans ready. By faith, we have to walk in the cost of it. We have to be diligent. Isaiah 55 says this in verse 6. We have to do it on His time and in His time. He's the one that sets the agenda. See, it's not build it and they will come. Make sure we're clear on that. This is not a build it and they will come kind of thing. It is to say, at the corner of Glen Eagles Drive and 242, God has planted a church that is to be salt and to be light. And beloved, there's not another church anywhere along 242 that has any more opportunity than this church does to influence this community. 40-something thousand cars a day pass by our front door. Half of them have to stop. And three-quarters of them don't even know we're here. We've got to be at work doing those kinds of things. But it has to be in His time. As He sees, as He works, as He goes. Somebody said not long ago, well, Pastor, if we just had, and I'm not going to, Joe will be unhappy when I say this. He said, if we just had a gym. Beloved, listen to me. We don't need a gym right now. Because we don't have the resources to fulfill the use of it. You know what we need right now? We need folks diligently serving, so we have to take those chairs back there that are stacked and put them out in here to have room for the folks that want to come and be in worship and be in education and want to be in fellowship with a church that's living, seeking the glory. The cost, the commitment, and the call. That's what this seeking is going to be about. That's the foundation for it. I want you to know I'm pumped. I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I've talked to more people. Let me just share this with you. I talked to someone this week. I said, how did you find our church? And the answer was online. I watched part of the content online. I talked to some folks that had visited our church, and I got a note back that said, man, we loved what your church service looked like. The music was worshipful. The fellowship was sweet. We weren't treated like we were outsiders. He said, your facility on the inside is great, but I'm going to tell you, the outside needs work. Will anybody get saved by putting some flowers out front? Probably not. But there's a reason in our culture that the exterior of buildings look the way they look. as we seek, we have to be willing to say, we're going to obey the cost, look at the call, we're going to make the commitment, and we're going to say, God, we're going to bear the cost. The cruisers, I'll close with this, the cruisers. I love that Andy came up with that context. See, the cruisers are basically just going to be people that drive around the neighborhoods. I'm not asking you to go knock on the doors. But here's what we know. People that are in transition are more open to making changes in their life than any other time. I visited this week with a lady over here at the tire shop. I walked into the tire shop over here to get some stuff done. There's this African-American lady and her three children, 5, 4, and 2. And beloved, they were a handful. They just moved here from Oklahoma. And I walked in, I said, ma'am, are you an Okie? Well, come to find out, she just lives right over here. I said, ma'am, we'd love to have you come and visit our church. And I gave her one of our business cards. Will they come? I don't know. But here's what I know. They would never have even known that we were here if somebody hadn't taken the time to have a conversation with them. The cost, the commitment, and the call. Are you ready to see what God will do at this church going forward as we simply began to seek Him specifically this month? This is going to be an exciting month because God's going to do and explain and show some amazing things to us. I'll just share this with you. And I talked to our men last night. This is just one of those things that came to me. Do you know what's happening in Houston this summer? In June and July? The World Cup. I just saw an invitation from a group that we're a part of that said, in April, we're going to have a meeting to train folks that might be interested in going down to the World Cup and doing ministry. I'm in. I would love the opportunity to be a part of that. As long as I don't have to play or announce the soccer game. I've never thought of that. But I'm saying to you, when God begins to open those things up, listen, not everybody in here is going to go. But I do believe that God will say, there's a couple of folks that say, you know, man, that sounded like an interesting opportunity. I'd like to be a part of that. Our cruisers are going to be out. We've got a couple of other things that are coming up in the next few months. Our prayer ministry is doing some things as well. We're having an outdoor concert in April, and I don't want to steal all that thunder, but I'm telling you, God is doing some stuff here that get us ready for what He wants to do. I'm ready. I hope that you are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, as we prepare for our invitation time, and then after our invitation time, we begin to pray for and have our prayer time and then our last song as we dismiss. My prayer this morning is this, that folks here would begin to get a glimpse of the glory, that we'd begin to get a context and a concept of excitement. God, that's a season now of seeking is on full bore. And that our job is not to just go willy-nilly out and plant stuff and do stuff, but to seek after Your heart. God, what is it that's the next step for our church? Help us to be diligent in how we seek that. As we go out and invite, as we go out and connect with folks that we know, as we use social media, God, to reach into places. Even having phone calls, Lord, this week, you know the two men that called me and said, Pastor, I want you to know, man, those videos have impacted me. They've been such an encouragement to me. Thank You for Your church doing that. God, we just ask today that You'd just remind us that we would see Your glory, that we would seek Your glory in our hearts with diligence, and that our prayer today would be, God, I don't even know what that looks like for me sitting in this place this morning, but whatever it is, whether it's on this stage in worship, whether it's out in the community inviting, connecting with people. God, just here I am. I'm all in. Let me see Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.